Welcome to another message from Fish Lake Valley, discovertheword.com, and sponsored by New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Tehachapi. We are going to talk about the subject of shoeless tonight. Shoeless. Shoeless. That means no shoes. Shoeless. Now, when I think of that, I think of one person, especially in history, Joseph Jefferson Jackson, Shoeless Joe Jackson. He was born in July the 16th, 1887, and he died December the 5th, 1951. He was an exceptional baseball player. Now, I'm not much in sports at all. I don't watch any sports. I haven't watched a baseball game since the Brooklyn Dodgers. But baseball was my favorite sport and my only sport that I played in Fish Lake Valley. We had a teacher that was contemporary with Shoeless Joe Jackson, and his name was Orville Taylor. He was an ex-professional baseball player and a teacher. And I had the great pleasure of having him for my teacher. Now, you have to realize that back in those days in Fish Lake Valley, the Dyer School, had two schoolrooms, from the first grade to the fourth and from fifth to the ninth grade. So I got to learn everything the ninth graders learned, and all the way up. When I went to California, I was so far ahead of my classes, I just had to lay back and hear everything again that I was learning for the next 4 years. Getting back to Shoeless, the message Shoeless. Ephesians 3:11 says, and this is New International Version, I think. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in holiness and confidence through faith in him. God's eternal purpose. God has always had a plan. He's always had a plan. I talked a little bit about Shoeless Joe Jackson, Joseph Jefferson Jackson. In 1919, they had a World Series. And the Chicago White Sox was in that, and Joe Jackson was part of that group. There are several people on the team that decided to throw the World Series. There was a gambler there. Anytime gamblers getting involved in anything, you've got problems. Gamblers and lawyers. Both crooked as dog's hind leg and a barrel of what they call, used to call a barrel of snakes or a barrel of barbed wire or baling wire. Well, Joe played exceptional during all through these World Series games. And he had 12 base hits. He caught exceptional during this time. He was not one of the players that threw the game. And the White Sox were so much better than the other team that there was no really, and they all bet on the other team, they all bet on the White Sox. So this gambler talked some of the players into throwing the game. Shoeless Joe Jackson played exceptional in this game. They had a trial. Kenshaw Mountain Landis was the first baseball commissioner that appointed him. And he decided to clean up baseball, and he banned the players on the White Sox team from ever playing in professional baseball again. One of them was Shoeless Joe Jackson. And he tried to tell them that he had played the best he played, and he did. He had a tremendous batting average. And He showed them. He said, "You show me where I made one wrong move. You show me where I failed to do my best." But Kenshaw Mountain Landis banned him from baseball. It didn't stop people from building or naming ballparks after him. He loved baseball. He lived for baseball. But his life was destroyed by this Dirty Sox game. That's what they called it. Now, I want to go back in time and eternity past, and we're going to chase the whole plan of God's salvation. The whole plan of God's salvation. And I want you to remember the term shoeless. All through this, shoeless. Back in eternity past, God created angels and He created spirits, and then He had an audience when He created the world. And it says in the book of Genesis, in the first verse, Genesis 1:1, Ahad, Ahad. It says there, Barashith bara Elohim eth hashamayim v'eth haaretz. It said in one of the beginnings, Beth is a preposition, page 88 if you want to look it up. Rosh means head or origin. And then there's a Hebrew tau on the end of that, which is a Hebrew plural. So we have in beginnings here, or in one of the beginnings, in one of the beginnings. He had created God, Bara Elohim. He had created God. We're talking about the whole triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says the heavens, the Hashemayim. And the word Hashemayim means uplifted waters. But it means everything above the earth. He created the universe, the cosmos. And then it says that He took the earth, we have powers, and placed it in exactly the right place where it would support life, and where the Messiah was going to come from. And then in verse 2 it says, "We ha'aretz hatiatohu vavohu. We hoshuk el panei hamayim. We ruah Elohim amerech beshet el panei hamayim." It says, "And the earth she had become formless and void, and darkness was over the faces of the deep to home." And then it said, "Spirit God mourned over, suffered over the faces of the deep." And then we see God reconstructing the earth, as we see in the first chapter there. He created an eternity past. And Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 tells you what happened. Then it says in Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our shadow casting image, in our blood flowing likeness, and in our sovereign likeness, like the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And let Him be sovereign, let Him be a sovereign being over all of everything." And so, originally we know that Lucifer was over all the material creation of God, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, but he fell from that estate, and he rebelled against God. Then God, after He destroyed the earth, and I don't know how much of the cosmos He did, but He destroyed the earth pretty good. God reconstructed it, and then He put man on it. And man's responsibility was to what? Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all. And he ate. And he ate, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate. Well, consecutive and perfect. That's what it says. She ate, and he ate. And kept on eating. Now we see what they did when they ate is they, first of all, the tree of the knowledge of what? Tov and Arom. Of good and evil. So the first thing they saw was how great God was and how good He was and how good He was in sharing the whole universe with them. And that how that Adam was going to be the master of all things, but he ate, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate. And infected the whole human race with that infection in Adam's blood. But through the woman, Genesis 3:15, we have a promise that God will send a Messiah of the seed of the woman, not of the man. All the Adam gives to us is the infection of sin in the blood that each child is born with the blood of their father. I see a problem with the camera here. I'm going to work on this. Hopefully that will take care of the audio problem. So Adam failed, but there was a promise. Then the next thing was, we're under the age of conscience. All mankind died. Adam died after 900 and something years. He almost lived a century. Next thing they were, they're supposed to do good and offer blood sacrifice. And what did they do? Wickedness in Genesis, the sixth chapter. And God destroyed the earth with water. Every living mammal on the earth, every land mammal on the earth was destroyed with water. And all mankind, all the Nephilim and everything else that caused so much trouble. Well, he set up human government. Responsive was to scatter and multiply, and they went in one spot. Now, the earth was all water and all earth. It was Pangea or Gondwana, whatever you want to call it. Well, the earth, mankind was on the ground, the dry ground, the Eretz, the dry ground, Ha Eretz. And then God confused the languages, because here we have Nimrod building the Tower of Babel. And they're going to start a world religion, one world religion, like is in the end times and Book of Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel and all of that. So God confused the languages, and then it says in the days of the Peleg, God divided the earth. The American Indian got on the American continent when God divided the earth, not over the crossway. The Indians went here in this land, and God divided the earth, and that's where they were. As long as there any human existence any place in the world, they were here in this part of the ground that split off. And we have North and South America, and we have the European continents. We have Alaskan and America, and then we have all the European and Oriental Asian continents. The earth was divided. Then we have the South Pacific. Those people were there all the time. They were there. Well, God divided the earth, and then we have the Age of Promise. And God called out Abraham, the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and told him to go into Canaan. And guess what he did? Failure. He dwelt in Egypt. And that's why, and God told Abraham, because you've done this, your children are going to be slaves down here for 400 years. And even before this, in Noah's son Ham sinned against him, and he says his descendants through Canaan would be cursed, because that may have been a child of incest, according to some sources. Well, Adam sinned. Mankind sinned. Noah even sinned. Abraham sinned. They didn't scatter here. He dwelt in Egypt. And now we have the Egyptian bondage. Now we have Moshe, Moses. Moses is born, and he had a lot of names, by the way. In history, you'll find out Moses had many, many names. His father gave him a name, his mother gave him a name, his sister gave him a name, his brother gave him a name. His uncles, his grands, his grandmothers, his grandfathers all gave him different names. But Pharaoh's daughter, the princess of Egypt, gave him the name Moshe, which means to draw out. To draw out. And 40 years Moses lived in the palace of Pharaoh. Then 40 years he ran, because Pharaoh was going to kill him, because he had killed an Egyptian. And he went out there and went in the Midian desert, and herded sheep for 40 years. And then God called him out and he told Moses. Moses saw a bush burning. And the thing about it was a thorny bush. By the way, it was a blackberry bush. That's what it says in Hebrew. It's a blackberry bush. Now, blackberry bushes don't really burn very well, but this bush was burning. And not only did it burn, but it didn't burn up. Miracle, miracle, miracle. But Moses came towards the blackberry bush and God said what? Get shoeless. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. In the presence of God, I had one of my students one time, fellow students at CMBI, California Missionary Baptist Institute. His name was Brother Soul. When he got up and preached in the pulpit, he would not preach with his shoes on. He took his shoes off. It's holy ground. Holy ground. Now, we know the Oriental, the Asian people, they don't wear the shoes in the house anyway. He wears his shoes in the church house. But when he got in the pulpit, he took those shoes off because he's standing on holy ground. Means a lot. Shoeless. Well, Moses was given the law, and the law was given for one thing, to show man how bad he was. And how pure and holy God is. And that's what Adam and Eve saw. They saw how bad, how good God was, first of all, how great God was, and they saw how arum evil they had become. They become thieves and liars and cheats and killers and murderers, and the first child they had was a murderer. It didn't fall far from the tree. The fruit didn't. Then we have Jesus coming. Jesus came. And we saw the living God in flesh. God in flesh. He came for a purpose, to die for our sins. He came for the purpose to shed His blood. Now, every religion in the world has got something you've got to do to get to heaven. But we come before God shoeless. Shoeless. Now, Shoeless Joe Jackson got that name. Because he was wearing a brand new pair of shoes in the mill league where he lived, and he had blisters all over his feet, so he took his shoes off and played in his socks, his stocking feet. And one of the people said, "Shoeless Joe," and started laughing. From that on, he got the name Shoeless Joe Jackson. Now, Moses had to be shoeless when he came into the presence of God. Jesus Christ walked this earth for 33 and a half years approximately. He lived a perfect life. He did not sin. He was God in flesh. Now, in Genesis 1 and 1, it says, "In beginning kept on being the Word." In A-R-K-A-N ho logos. In beginning. That's the absolute beginning. That's one beginning. That's when nothing else existed in eternity past. God kept on being. It said NRK ain't ho logos. In the beginning, in the beginning, when nothing else was, before angels, spirits, and everything. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active, that little word ain't there. He kept on being ho logos. Now ho logos is a Hebraism, not a Greek word. John was Hebrew. And he says, in the beginning kept on being the Jehovah. When they came to the word Jehovah in the Old Testament, after God wrote, "Thou shalt not use the Lord beyond God's name in vain, for He shall not hold you guiltless, you will pay for it." So the Jews will never speak His name, and when they come to the name, they say Halabar, the word, or Hashem, the name. And John picked up on that, and he told them, and John's the last gospel written, by the way. John wanted to prove that Jesus is God in the flesh. He said, "In beginning kept on being the Word, and the Word, Jehovah, kept on being toward the God." He kept on being inseparable from God. Jesus was never not God on this earth. He was always God and always man. Jesus was God and He was man. He wasn't all God and He wasn't all man. He was God and man. Jesus died for our sins. It says in the last sentence in that John 1 and 1, there's three sentences there. It says in the last sentence, Yes, even because, chi there, is sometimes a conjunction, sometimes a particle of affirmation, and there it is. Yes, indeed, the Word kept on being God. The Jehovah kept on being God. John 1:14 says, chi logos sarx agenito. And the Jehovah fleshy became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the Old Testament, the whole tabernacle was a type of Christ. Primarily a type of Christ. And if you look, any depictions, all the priests had to go in there and minister barefooted, shoeless. And the man there, he's shoeless. Shoeless. Not shoeless Joe, but shoeless priest. You know why? Because it's holy ground. This all typifies what Christ did for us. He did. He died for us. He was royal. Royalty, the purple. He was red and scarlet, the blood that he shed. He was white and righteous. And wood covered with gold all over that thing. Wood is a type of humanity. Gold is a type of deity. He was God-man. We see this in the tabernacle. When we come before God, we come before God shoeless. When you come before God bringing nothing with you. Only Jesus' blood. And if you haven't got a time in your life when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and repent of your sin, you better go do it. Because you are shoeless. Shoes are man-made. You know, in the eternity past and future here, in the eternity future, there won't be one man-made object in that eternal heaven and earth. There won't be a pyramid left. Nothing. They say the oldest object building on earth is the great Sphinx of Egypt. It goes before the flood. The great pyramid goes way back yonder. But there won't be any of that in the new heavens and new earth. There will be no man-made object. There is nothing that you can do to get to heaven. No righteousness that you carry with you. It's only the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ that was in eternity past, forever and ever, but became flesh to save our souls. Do you need Jesus to save your soul? Do you? You'll come shoeless if you do. You'll carry nothing with you. And I don't mean to be silly and go down and say you've got to go to the altar of God and take your shoes off. No. There's nothing we have. If you want to go to the altar of God and take your shoes off, fine. But we carry nothing with us. We carry no good deeds with us. It's only Jesus' good deeds. Our Heavenly Father, we give you this word. We send this message out shoeless, because we are shoeless. We carry nothing with us. We carry no self-righteousness to heaven with us. We're not like the Pharisee that stood on and said, I'm glad you made me like I am. We're like the publican that says, oh, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. We are all sinners. Father, save those that need to be saved. And those that are saved, I pray that you lead them on to service for you. Forgive me where I fail you in my life and my shortcomings. In Jesus' name I pray. I come to you shoeless. Mm-hmm. I come to you bringing nothing but Jesus' blood.